You know, when we picture artificial intelligence getting smarter, we usually visualize this giant, infinite sponge.
Right, yeah. Like it just soaks everything up.
Exactly. The working assumption is just that more data, more parameters, and, an ever-expanding memory will automatically equal a more intelligent machine.
Which is, I mean, it's a deeply human biased, really.
Yeah.
We assume that if a neural network can just absorb enough data, if you can memorize every single pixel, every hyper-specific edge case, it will eventually just piece together this perfect understanding of the universe.
We instinctively equate like raw retention with wisdom.
Exactly.
But when you strip away those assumptions and actually look at the math of how these models learn, that idea completely falls apart.
It really does. It shatters.
So today, welcome to our deep dive. We are looking at a single, honestly mind-bending source document today about a framework called sacrificial variable calculus, or SVC.
And it proves mathematically that to become truly smart, an AI actually has to be forced to, well, actively and permanently forget.
Which is wild.
Yeah. It's a fundamental shift in how we architect intelligence. To understand why forgetting is necessary, we first have to look at a pretty well-known pathology in machine learning called overfitting.
Right, overfitting.
Overfitting happens when a model memorizes all the useless, hyper-specific noise in its training data instead of learning the actual underlying patterns.
It gets lost in the weeds.
Yes, it becomes so obsessed with the messy details of the past that it fails completely when you ask it to navigate the future.
And what the SVC framework does is take that pathology and completely transform it, right?
Exactly. Instead of treating forgetting as some kind of accident or, a hardware flaw, it engineers this controlled, intentional mathematical process of sacrifice.
Okay, let's ground this right away because everyone listening has experienced the human equivalent of this.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like packing a tiny suitcase for a month-long trip across multiple
Good
climates.
luck with that.
Right. Because if you try to pack absolutely everything you own, every thick sweater, every pair of sandals, the toaster, just in case the suitcase bursts, you can't actually go anywhere.
You're stuck.
In the realm of machine learning, that burst suitcase is quite literally termed overfitting death.
That analogy actually captures the limitation principle at the heart of this framework perfectly.
Okay, lay it on us.
Mathematically speaking, a model that holds onto an infinite number of variables has zero predictive power on unseen data.
Zero predictive power. So it stops predicting and just starts reciting.
Entirely. Every neural network has a strict mathematical capacity limit, which the framework ties to its VC dimension.
Wait, VC dimension. Let's unpack that jargon for a second to make sure we're all on the same page.
Sure.
Is that essentially just a formal math term for like the absolute maximum number of distinct facts the model's brain can physically hold before it runs out of room?
That is a highly effective way to visualize it, yeah. If the total volume of facts a model retains exceeds that threshold, that VC dimension, it ticks over into overfitting death.
Boom, suitcase bursts.
Exactly. But the framework takes this further by linking it to physics. Specifically, they introduce the Landauer principle of machine learning.
And that states what exactly?
It argues that to learn a new, useful fact, a model must actively emit entropy.
Emitting entropy, meaning like it has to burn off old information just to make room.
Yes. When a model absorbs new information, it reduces its internal uncertainty. But the universe demands a trade.
A transaction.
Right. To balance the equation, the model must sacrifice an existing variable of equal or greater complexity.
Okay, I have to push back on this fundamental premise for a second.
Go for it.
I'm thinking about the sheer scale of the hardware tech giants are building today. We have massive, sprawling server farms, literal supercomputers training these models.
Massive capacity, right?
Yeah. So if a system has seemingly infinite storage space, why can't it just learn the broad general rule, A and D simultaneously store all the hyper-specific weird edge cases?
Okay.
Like, why is this sacrifice strictly mandatory rather than just an optional way to save hard drive space?
That is the most common misconception.
Yeah.
And it's exactly why this mathematical framework is so revolutionary.
It's not about the hard drive.
It is not a hardware storage limit at all. It is a fundamental law of information theory, proven through something called the residual bounding theorem.
Okay.
If a model tries to hold on to an infinite number of variables, its predictive error on unseen data mathematically explodes.
Oh, wow. So even if you had like a quantum hard drive the size of the Milky Way, it wouldn't matter.
Wouldn't matter at all.
The massive storage doesn't solve the problem, it actually creates it.
Because the universe of possible data in the real world is infinite and constantly shifting.
Right.
If a model memorizes the exact noisy variations of the past, it binds itself to a reality that will never repeat exactly the same way.
So the very act of holding on to contradictory, hyperspecific noise mathematically guarantees that the machine will make worse decisions tomorrow.
Precisely. Therefore, to generalize, to handle a future it has never seen sacrifice, isn't just helpful, it is mandatory.
Okay, so if we accept that a model must act like a ruthless editor and constantly kill off information, my next question is about targeting.
How does it choose the victim?
Right, because if I intentionally, lobotomize a section of a neural network's brain, my instinct says it's going to accidentally delete something vital.
It's a risk.
To pull off this targeted forgetting, the framework must force the model to constantly audit its own thoughts. So how does the math score these variables to ensure it doesn't destroy its own intelligence?
The audit process relies on scoring every single variable on a metric of complexity and density. They primarily use Shannon entropy for this.
Let's break down Shannon entropy in this context, because usually we think of entropy as chaos or disorder in a physical system.
Right.
How does that translate to scoring a fact inside an AI?
Well, in information theory, a high Shannon entropy score actually means a piece of information is highly generalized.
Okay.
It represents a broad, overarching truth that applies to many different situations with a lot of inherent variability.
Ah.
So the framework labels these high entropy facts as anchors. Their density, meaning their universality across the entire training data set, approaches a perfect score of 1.
And so these anchors are strictly protected.
Heavily protected, yes.
So a high entropy anchor is a sturdy general rule. What about the low entropy facts?
Low entropy means a fact is highly constrained, rigid, and hyperspecific to only a tiny fraction of the data. Its density approaches 0.
Denoise.
Exactly. The math identifies these rigid facts as prime sacrifice candidates. The text illustrates this dynamic beautifully with a scenario they call the dog-cat boundary.
Oh, walk us through that, because this is where the abstract math suddenly becomes incredibly relatable.
Sure. So imagine the model learns a broad fact during training. Animals with fur are mammals. That statement has high entropy. It's broadly applicable, highly generalized, and scores, say, a Bell 0.8 on their metric. It becomes a protected anchor.
Makes sense.
But later, while analyzing thousands of images, the model memorizes a bizarre detail. This exact weird arrangement of shadow pixels in the bottom left corner of this one specific photo indicates a cat.
Which is obviously completely useless for identifying a cat in any other lighting condition or background.
Exactly the problem. That fact has a very low entropy score around 0.2. It is incredibly fragile.
Right.
Now, the framework enforces a strict law of generalization. When two facts contradict or compete for influence during a prediction, the model is mathematically forced to sacrifice the one with the lower entropy.
So the overly specific pixel pattern just must die to protect the universal rule about mammals.
It has to, yes.
You can map this dynamic directly onto human experience, particularly when we're learning a complex new skill.
Definitely.
Think about learning to drive a car. You internalize the high entropy anchor, stop at red lights. That is a universal protected rule.
Right. You need that one.
But you absolutely must sacrifice the low entropy memory of the exact specific shade of crimson of the traffic light at 4th and Main on a cloudy Tuesday.
Yes.
Because if you hold on to that hyper specific shade and your brain demands to see that exact color everywhere before deciding to hit the brakes, you're going to crash at the very next intersection.
That driving analogy captures the essence of the law of generalization perfectly. You are instinctively sacrificing the low entropy pixel pattern to preserve the high entropy anchor rule.
Because if you didn't, the noise of the specific memory would just overwrite the utility of the general rule.
And cause catastrophic failure, yes.
Okay, so the model has run the audit. The overly specific pixel patterns and the exact shades of red have been marked for death.
They're on the chopping block.
But how is the execution actually carried out? Because we're talking about massive matrices of numbers, not a whiteboard where you can just wipe away a bad idea with an eraser.
The execution relies on a mathematical function called the sacrifice operator. It's denoted by the Greek letter sigma. And its methodology is, frankly, surprisingly brutal.
Brutal how?
Well, in standard machine learning, if a model wants to rely less on a piece of data, it simply shrinks the mathematical weights associated with it.
Just makes the number smaller.
Right. It makes the connection smaller, essentially demoting the idea.
But this operator doesn't just demote it.
No, it annihilates it. The sacrifice operator targets the weights of the doomed variable and forces them to exactly 0.
Wow. So the mathematical pathway is completely severed.
Severed, yes. But here is the critical innovation of the framework. It doesn't just set the weights to zero and move on.
What does it do?
The mathematical gradient, the feedback loop, that allows the model to update those specific numbers is frozen for a set number of training cycles.
Frozen.
The framework explicitly defines this freezing phase as a mourning period.
Hold on, a mourning period. Why does a cold, hard math equation need to mourn?
It's a great question.
I mean, if the data is bad and you set it to zero, why freeze the system? My instinct would be to just sweep it away and let the model immediately start learning the next batch of information.
Let's deduce what would happen if we didn't freeze that pathway. Think about how a neural network trains. It looks at the same massive data set over and over again in loops called epochs.
Oh, I see it. The hyperspecific noisy data, that weird shadow in the cat photo, is still sitting right there in the training set.
Exactly.
So if the model is just doing its normal learning loop and it sees a massive gap where it used to have a memory, it's just going to instantly relearn the exact same noisy pixel pattern in the very next cycle.
You've hit the exact vulnerability. It would undo the sacrifice immediately.
Right.
So by enforcing a mourning period, by freezing that specific pathway to zero and actively blocking any updates, the model is mathematically barred from using that hyperspecific crutch.
It's forced to cope.
It forces the rest of the neural network to adapt to the loss.
So the surrounding neurons basically have to heal over the wound. They have to route around the missing information and lean heavier on the generalized anchors.
That adaptation is the entire point. It enforces a principle known as the orthogonality of sacrifice.
Orthogonality of sacrifice.
The rule states that a sacrificed variable must be entirely irrecoverable. The model cannot cheat by finding a backdoor calculation to reconstruct the discarded information from the variables that survived.
So there really is no undo button.
None.
The framework strictly forbids any kind of like recall operator. Once a fact is thrown into the incinerator, it is permanently scrubbed from the model's underlying reality.
Scrubbed from its reality, yes. And this is where the mathematics of the framework bridges directly into the actual physics of signal processing.
Oh, this part is fascinating.
To explain how this irreversible death is mapped out mathematically, the theory introduces something called the E-field.
The E-field. You know, when I first read this section, it felt like I was crossing from computer science straight into quantum mechanics.
It does have that flavor.
It defines reality with this incredible equation. It says, reality equals the cosine of truth plus I times the sine of possibility.
Yes.
Which sounds beautiful, almost like a line of poetry, but it's a rigorous mathematical formula using complex numbers.
It is a stunning conceptual leap.
Yeah.
In this mathematical mapping, the complex plane is used to physically separate what the model knows from what the model is forgetting.
Okay.
The variables that the model trusts and retains those high entropy anchors live entirely on the real axis of the equation, the cosine part.
So they are deterministic. They're compiled into the model's actual functioning worldview.
Exactly.
But the variables marked for sacrifice, what happens to them?
During that frozen mourning period, the sacrifice variables undergo a mathematical phase rotation.
Oh, rotation.
They literally rotate off the real axis and shift onto the imaginary axis, the I-sine part of the equation.
Wow.
They transition from being concrete facts to probabilistic possibilities.
I need to make sure we're translating this clearly for you listening, because pushing data to an imaginary axis sounds like, I don't know, sci-fi technobabble.
It does sound abstract.
But practically speaking, this imaginary axis acts like a mathematical quarantine zone, right?
Yes, that's exactly it.
Like the data technically still exists in the overarching equation of the system, but because it's mathematically categorized as imaginary, it is physically impossible for that data to influence the model's real-world predictions.
That is the perfect way to translate it. It is quarantined. While in that imaginary space, the data is rendered mathematically inert and is eventually emitted from the model as raw, harmless noise.
Just drifts away.
And this quarantine process is formally proven in what is called the Chiron-SVC theorem.
Okay, what does the Chiron-SVC theorem prove in terms of mechanics?
It proves that this entire brutal process we've been discussing, the sacrifice operator, the strict mourning period, the shift to the imaginary axis is mathematically identical to applying a low-pass filter to the model's entire information structure.
A low-pass filter.
Right.
So if we imagine the model's brain as like a massive audio equalizer, a low-pass filter lets the low, deep, rumbling bassline frequencies pass through while aggressively chopping off all the high-pitched squeaks and static.
And in the context of information theory, those high-frequency anomalies are the overly specific contradictory edge cases.
Right.
They represent the noise that changes too rapidly and unpredictably from one situation to the next.
The exact shades of red, the weird pixel shadows, the static.
Yes. The theorem proves that forcing the machine to mourn and forget is literally the mathematical equivalent of muting that high-frequency static.
Oh.
It strips away the blinding noise so the model can actually tune in to the low-frequency, steady baseline melody of the generalized truth.
Okay, so we have this incredibly elegant math. We have complex planes acting as quarantine zones, low-pass filters, and enforced mourning periods.
The theory is solid.
But let's bring this down from the theoretical clouds. When researchers actually build a model using this framework, does forcing a machine to permanently forget actually produce a smarter AI?
That's the real test.
Because intentionally tearing out pieces of a brain seems incredibly risky.
The empirical validation of this framework is, honestly, striking. Researchers ran extensive tests comparing standard neural networks against models running the SVC architecture.
Yee.
When they instituted just a 5-epoch mourning period before permanently deleting a variable, the SVC models demonstrated a massive 15 to 30% improvement in out-of-distribution performance.
A 15 to 30% jump is astonishing in this field.
It's massive.
And out-of-distribution performance, that means testing the AI on real-world scenarios that it has absolutely never encountered during its training, right?
Yes. It means the model generalized beautifully. It was genuinely wiser in the real world because it wasn't burdened by the noisy specifics of its past.
Incredible.
Furthermore, the rigorous irreversibility of this framework, the fact that there is no recall operator, cleanly prevents a notorious software issue known as catastrophic forgetting.
Oh, let's define catastrophic forgetting for the listener, just to be clear what we're solving here.
Sure. It occurs in sequential learning. If a standard model learns how to do task A, and then you try to teach it task B, the new information often overwrites and completely destroys its ability to do task A.
The knowledge just collides.
Right. But with SVC, because the hyper-specific conflicting variables from task A are cleanly sacrificed and pushed to the imaginary axis, they don't exist in the real mathematical space to interfere with task B.
So they can't clash.
Exactly. The old conflicting noise is forgotten cleanly, leaving only the universal anchors intact to support the new learning.
Man, bringing this all back to you, the listener, we live in an era defined by an absolute avalanche of information.
More than ever before.
You are constantly bombarded with data points, news articles, hot takes, and hyper-specific opinions. We live in an age of infinite variables, and our natural human instinct is to try and absorb all of it, to feel, you know, informed.
We think more is better.
But this mathematical framework proves that absorbing everything actually makes you worse at navigating reality. It mathematically degrades your predictive power.
It does.
True intelligence isn't about hoarding facts. It is about aggressively and intentionally filtering them out. It's having the wisdom to identify the high-frequency static, set its weight to zero, put it in quarantine, and let it go.
The text actually summarizes this profound shift in perspective beautifully. It states, quote, "A model that remembers everything learns nothing. A variable that cannot be sacrificed becomes a chain. A fact that cannot be forgotten becomes a lie."
A fact that cannot be forgotten becomes a lie. That's powerful.
It establishes the ultimate sacrificial axiom in any finite intelligence. The sum of retained information and sacrificed information is always constant. Wisdom is simply the mathematical process of knowing which is which.
Wow.
To learn is to forget. To generalize is to sacrifice.
It's a total inversion of how we value memory. You aren't defined by what you remember. Your intelligence is the refined product of what you have intentionally chosen to forget.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. But before you step away, I want to leave you with one final unscripted thought to mull over. Yeah, we've seen how the SVC framework explicitly and mathematically forbids a recall operator. It makes the sacrifice permanent to prevent the machine from cheating and reinfecting itself with toxic noise.
Right. It has to be irreversible.
But human brains, we do the exact opposite. We constantly resurface old traumas, old regrets, and trivial memories. We lay awake at night replaying that embarrassing thing we said at a party 5 years ago.
We really do.
We have a biological recall operator built right into our hardware, which raises an uncomfortable question. Are human brains fundamentally wired to resist our own optimal generalization?
That is a haunting thought.
So the next time you find yourself obsessing and overthinking a past mistake, ask yourself, are you stubbornly refusing to let your brain execute a necessary sacrifice?